Last week, I talked to you about the job that the King has placed on our life, the role, the function that He has laid on each and every one of us. And I said to you last week that it is the mantle of being priests within His kingdom. I know when I first mentioned that, particularly in the beginning of our time together last week, some of you were looking back at me like, what? You know, I'm not a priest. Well, it was always God's plan in working with His people from day one. And we looked at that biblically. We looked at how it was always His plan A that people within His kingdom would relate to Him as priests, would serve Him as priests within His kingdom. And then we landed on a verse last week. We kind of ended up here. We talked about how Peter, when he was writing to those early believers in Asia Minor, which is the Turkey now, that's the part of the world that's called Turkey, as he's writing to the early believers over in that area, he said to them, this is how you should see yourselves. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation belonging to God, that you might offer sacrifices acceptable to Him. So the priests were never meant to be a select group of people that would only serve. We talked about how that came about. It was God's plan from the beginning that all of us would serve in that way before Him as priests unto Him. So I'm calling what I want to share to you with that thought in mind. I'm calling what I want to share with you today. So what do I do now? You know, some of you may be sitting there and saying to yourselves, listen, you can call me a priest all you want, but I don't know the first thing about priesting. You know, I don't know what it means to be a priest. So I want to talk about talk with us about that today. And one of the things that I hope to do anyways is to give all of us a practical understanding of what it means so that we're able to fulfill this mantle, this role that the Lord has placed on our lives. Now, let me just start by saying that in order to function as a priest, you don't need to become a stoic or, you know, a mystic or a monk. That should be good news that we don't have to do that. And I also wanted to say you don't have to get demarried. Right? Demarried. Some of you are saying, oh, you know, you don't. You were thinking you had a way out. Well, you don't. You don't have a way out. No way out. So you don't have to be a stoic. You don't have to be a mystic. You don't have to become a monk or get demarried. And you don't need a master's in priesting, okay? You know, God has made this really plain for us. You know, we need to keep it simple, and it is simple. Before I begin talking about that, I want to take you to a verse and talk to you. I feel like I need to say a couple of things because I just feel they're important. This is the first thing I want to say. Our identity should determine our function, not the other way around. So it should be this. Here it is, right here. Our identity should determine our function, not our function to determine our identity. Now, sadly to say, most people live with the understanding that their function determines their identity. What I'm suggesting to us this morning is that's not the way that it should be. It's our identity. That which God has called us to be should determine our function. Now, here's how it happens a lot of the times. Let me use these guys up here that were up here ahead of me this morning. Let's say Andy, that's who was over there. By the way, thanks guys for leading us in a time of tuning our hearts to the Lord. But Andy was over here playing the guitar, and somewhere along the way, Andy came to discover that he was actually able to play a guitar. So here's how it happens in most of our lives. We figure out that God has gifted us in some way, and so we say, whether by natural gifts or spiritual gifts, God has gifted us in some way. And so we say, okay, because I'm that way, I must be, in this case, Andy must be a guitarist, right? So what's happening there? What's happening is that my function is determining my identity. Now, that may seem fine on the surface, but what ends up happening is rather than allowing God to first and foremost tell me my identity, what we say is that, well, listen, I'm a guitarist, and, you just got to accept that. I'm a guitarist. That's who I am. And, what happens is if we are not allowed to function in that way, we get all worked up about it, right? We get all bent out of shape about it. It's like, they're not recognizing I have these gifts, I have these callings. So we put the gift ahead of the identity. Now, what I'm trying to suggest to us this morning is that we need to understand that the king, right? That's the context we're talking about this. The king gets to tell us within his kingdom who we are. I don't get to come to the king and say, well, I'm pretty good at this, and I'm pretty good at that. And the king says, well, that's not what I need. I don't need that. I need this. And so he said, well, you take it or leave it. You don't like me the way I am? That's the way I am, right? That's the way it is. No, he gets to say, this is who you are. Now function like it. This is who you are. See, because if we're not convinced of who we are, then we'll never fulfill our identity. You will never do it. And in the context of what I'm sharing with you, is if you really don't believe in your heart of hearts that God has called you to be a priest, within his kingdom, in the courts of his kingdom, if you don't identify with that, if you walk out of here this morning and say, whatever that guy was talking about, whatever, I'm going back to carpentry. No, you can do those things, but you need to understand that you are first and foremost a priest within his kingdom. Once you become convinced of that, then you say to yourself, okay, if that's who I am, then I better figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? Okay, now, here's how this thing works, right? Religion says I must be able to do my duty in order to be of any value to God. I've got to be able to do this because if I'm not able to function this way, then I'm really worthless to God. A worshipful heart says this, Jesus proved that I am valuable to God, so I serve him because he's of value and worth to me. You see the difference? Okay, let me make it even plainer to you. Religion says, I am because I do. A worshipful heart says, I do because I am. Those are two totally different things. I'm going to share with you now the job description for us as priests. But if you don't see yourself as that, if you don't cause that, if you don't allow that to become your identity, it won't matter what I'm about to tell you. You must be willing to accept the fact that within this kingdom, remember what I said to us a couple weeks ago? I said, when you live underneath a king, the king gets to call the shots. You don't. It's not, you don't get to say, it's the king who gets to say. We're worshiping a king, not our buddy next door, not the friend down the street. In all those relationships, our say has impact, influence. When we're living within a kingdom, the king gets to call the shots. And one of the shots that he's called is to say, I want everyone within my kingdom to serve as a priest before me. So with that in mind, let's begin now to look at what it is that we're being called upon to do. Do you remember I said to us last week that how the Levites became the priesthood people was because when the whole golden calf thing was happening there. Remember that? We talked about that. Mardi Gras, remember? We talked about that. So when they came out, they responded to Moses's, as he stood there in the entryway of the people and said to them, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And only the Levites came. And from that point forward, they were the only ones who were allowed to serve as priests before him. And anyways, we talked about all that. But then here's what gets said in Scripture. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi. I put those, the priesthood are my words, just to identify who we're talking about here. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless in his name to this day. If you've noticed, in that one verse, there are three parts. Here is the priestly job description. Number one, they were to carry the ark. Number two, they were to minister to the Lord. And number three, they were to pronounce blessings. All right? So we're beginning now to get a window into what this job, into what this mantle that the Lord has placed on all of our lives, what is it that I'm actually supposed to do? In the case of the first priests, they were to carry the Ark of the Covenant. They were to minister to the Lord and pronounce blessings. Now, isn't that nice? Isn't it nice when you have a simple job description? This isn't complicated. You know what I'm saying? This isn't rocket science here. What I need you to do as priests is you're going to be carrying the Ark of the Covenant, you're going to be ministering to me, and you're going to be pronouncing blessings. So I'd like to kind of break those down and try to understand what that all means. And so we'll start with carrying the Ark. Everybody know what the Ark of the Covenant is? I brought a picture out just so that those who might not be familiar with it might know what it's about. Here is this box, literally a box, that was built out of a acacia wood and then covered in gold. It was this box that has a bunch of components to it here. If you took a sheet, the box is not quite these dimensions, but it's close. If you took a sheet of 4x8 plywood, cut it in half, and then cut that half in half again, that's how big a box we're talking about. It was a little over 3 feet long, a little over 2 feet wide, and he gave him specific directions how to build this thing in Exodus 23. He said, "I need you to build this box for me." And so they build it. It's got the box itself. It's got four gold rings, two on each side, and then some wooden poles out of the same wood. And then on top, it has this lid that's called the cover of atonement or mercy seat. And then on top of that, he told them to make two cherubim, two kind of winged angel type people. And he said, "I need them in gold too." And then he said, "I want them, their wings to be outstretched, covering their faces. And then there's going to be this little spot right in between their wings." And I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. So anyways, God has them make this box called the Ark of the Covenant. And then inside the box, he has them put a few things. He has them put a bowl of manna. That manna was the food that he gave the Israelites as they were making their way through the wilderness. He has them put this manna in there as a reminder of his provision in their life. He has them also put in Aaron's staff. And the significance of that was, is Aaron's staff, it's another story in the Bible, it was all the staffs from the different tribes were taken and placed before the Lord, and only Aaron's staff budded, which again, there's a whole lot of stuff to that. But anyways, that staff budded. So he had them placed, and it was talking about the favor and who the favor and blessing of God was upon. He has them put that in the Ark of the Covenant, and then finally, he has them put the second set of stone tablets. Remember, the first set got destroyed. But the second set, he has them put those stone tablets also inside the Ark of the Covenant. So anyways, he sets them up, and he says, "Okay, here's what I need you to build." They build it. They put all the stuff in it. And then he says, only priests are going to be able to cart this thing around. The only ones who can touch it are people who from the tribe of Levi. You're the only ones. You're the only ones touching the ark. Now, at the end of this thing, here's the one of the important ingredients, right? At the end of this, this is what God says to Moses. There above the cover, between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Covenant, I will meet with you and give you all my commandments for the Israelites. So remember I told you there was these two wing-type angelic cherubim things on the top of the Ark, and there's a spot right between where their wings meet, where their wings don't touch, but that little spot right there, God says, when it's time for me to talk, I want you to show up there, and I will meet with you between the wings of those cherubim. So the Ark of the Covenant really represented the presence of God. And the Ark of the Covenant was the thing that eventually, when the tabernacle and then the temple, when all that stuff got established, it was the Ark of the Covenant that ended up in the Holy of Holies place. And only the priests could go in there and have interaction with God. The priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, were the ones who had contact with the Ark of the Covenant. They're the ones that were able to, actually a two-folded thing about the Ark. The Ark was the physical representation of God's presence on earth. And secondly, it was a designated meeting place with God. So let's go to our job description. Our job description as priests is that you and I, listen now, you and I are meant to be carriers of God's presence to the places we find ourselves going. And let me say it again, because some of you are already like, I got to do that. The priests would be the ones to have some interaction with God, and then they would be the ones to in turn go out and interface with the people. Let's move it forward for us. You and I, as priests serving in the king's courts, are supposed to be doing the same thing. We are supposed to be having personal interaction with God, experiencing his presence, and then as we move out from that moment, taking his presence to the places and the people where we find ourselves going. That's your job. That's my job. That's my job. That's your job. Remember, we're all priests. We're all serving in this thing together as priests in the courts of his kingdom. Well, I'm just letting you know, when you go to work in the morning, you may be a plumber, we talked about this last week, a carpenter, electrician, a school teacher, whatever. What you need to see is your true identity. Your true identity. Remember, identity determines function. My true identity is that of being a priest in the kingdom of God. Remember, we talked about you wearing that robe, having that mantle placed upon your life. So that means that I meet with God, I'm interfacing with him, and out of my interfacing with him, I now step into these other arenas of my life as a carrier of God's presence. I'm carrying. See, and here's the thing about the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, it brought life, it brought blessing, it brought victory in war. And so I get to be a carrier of that. That means whatever situation I find myself going into, I get to bring life there. I get to bring life there. I'm pounding nails. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Ow. Yes, Lord. Right? I'm bringing life. I'm bringing life. Wherever I'm going, I'm bringing life. You know, some Christians have the ministry of the wet blanket, right? Right? They go into places and so I'm home. No, we're priests. We're carriers of God's presence, and I get to interface with people to bring the life of God to them. I also get to be a connection for them in meeting with God. Wherever I show up, now there's the potential that a divine appointment could occur. Yeah, I get to show up. I get to show up, and God might open heaven over that moment, and we get to have some kind of cool thing happen right there because I'm a carrier of His presence. I set up meeting places for people with God. That's what I do. We're doing that. We're carrying the ark. That's our first thing we get to do. We get to carry the ark. Number two, we get to minister to the king. What does that mean? What does it mean to minister, not for the king, but to the king? It may be helpful for you to know that the Greek word for worship, the most used Greek word for worship, is the word latruo, which means to minister to God. Not minister for God, to minister to God. Which begs us the question, how do you minister to someone who is utterly self-sufficient and in need of nothing? Well, let me say it this way. I think we can all relate to this. What do you get for somebody who doesn't need anything? You ever had that problem before? You know what I'm saying? What do you get for somebody who doesn't need anything? God needs nothing. He needs nothing. He is utterly self-sufficient. He is utterly fully met. Just because He has no needs does not mean He doesn't have any desires. You know, my wife, Jody, and I, when we're getting around to Christmas time, we kind of talk about what we're going to get each other for Christmas. And quite often we'll say to each other as we're having that dialogue, we'll say, well, I really don't need anything, right? But that doesn't mean I don't have some desires, right? I always tell her, I said, you can't go wrong with camouflage, right? You just can't go wrong with camouflage. It'll work. Camouflage always works. He doesn't need anything, but He has some specific desires. And I want to just, for some, remind you what those are. For others, this will be a new discovery. One of the things that He desires is praise. So remember, we're talking about how do we minister to the King? We can look to meet His desires. And one of His desires is that we might praise Him. Now, somebody may be saying, you know, what God's an egomaniac. He gets all puffed up with that stuff. No. In fact, you know, when God came and visited us in flesh, you couldn't have got a humbler person. Born in a manger, you know, lived with nothing, died in an incredibly humiliating way. So we know that God isn't an egomaniac. He's not all, you know, caught up on this. But what he does think is that I really deserve their praise. I really deserve it. I mean, that last breath you took, He just gave it. It's not that He needs it to feel self-value and self-worth and, you know, it's not about that. It's about what He deserves. All of us in this room here, I think, can relate to the fact that when you have done something, when you have, you know what it's like to receive appreciation, right? We also know what it's like to not receive it. And I think God, He likes praise. He likes us to acknowledge Him for His goodness, His love, His salvation, His protection, all the things that He so lovingly and graciously gives to us. And the Bible is replete with this. It says that He finds pleasure in our praise. I think the other thing that we can do to minister to Him, we're going to be talking about praise extensively here in the weeks to come. But anyways, the second thing is that we can pray to Him. You know, one of the things you find when reading in the Old Testament is God obviously has a nose for things, and there are certain smells that He really likes. In the Old Testament, we're told that when the priests were to anoint people and they were to offer these various sacrifices, they were to get a young bull and make an offering. And it says there that the smell of that barbecue, if you will, when the smell of that barbecue goes up to God, it's like a sweet savoring smell and offering to Him. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, it says that God, He loves when incense and spices and stuff are put together and that stuff is offered up to him. He loves the pleasing aroma that it puts off. I don't know about you. I know about me. I love it when I drive by where there's been when a good burger's cooking or a steak on the grill. You know what I mean? Ah, like that. I really like that. I think Burger King down here, they pipe it out, right? I mean, I don't know if we'd qualify that as like the, a pleasing offering. It's an offering, but I don't know. I don't know how pleasing it is. But you know what I'm talking about, those smells. And most people even like the smell of, aromatic type stuff, and if it's not overpowering, we really like that. And David said, he said in Psalm 141, he says, "Lord, may my prayers be like incense coming up to you." And apparently God sees it that way, because in Revelation, when John got a window into what was going on up in heaven, it says that there was a bowl of incense on the altar there, and John described that. He said that bowl of incense right there are the prayers of people going up to God. So one of the ways that you and I, let me remind you, we're talking about our job description as we serve as priests within the courts of the king. Well, our job description is we're going to carry the ark, and then we're going to minister to God. And a couple of the ways that we can minister to him is by offering up praise to him. But the other way is when he hears us praying. I want you to see this morning. When he sees us and hears us praying, it's like when you and I drive by Burger King to him. It's like, oh, I love that. I love the smell of people offering up praise and prayer to me. And then there's one final thing here. Practical acts of service. Practical acts of service. You remember when Jesus said, he's separating people out there, and he says, when you offered a drink to that person, you really offered it to me. Or when you fed somebody who is hungry, you really fed me when you did that. Now, what I want you to see about that is that what we have to pay attention to as priests is that we're doing what we're doing in service to the king. The Bible says, in everything that you do, do as unto the Lord. Well, see, we get it backwards. In fact, that's one of the distinguishing things between King Saul and King David. One of the distinguishing things between those two men in the Bible is that David was a man after God's own heart, and Saul was a politician. Hello? Do you know why? Do you know why that's so? Because David saw what he did as doing unto the Lord. Saul did what he did as unto people. One is after the heart of God. The other is after the heart of people. We have to keep that straight. You know, it says, I said in our class this morning before church, that Jesus said, I want you to, here's what you can do. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. The one is first, the other is second, and we have to keep it that way. We have to keep it that way, because if we get it backwards, what ends up happening, and a lot of people do, a lot of even ministries do, all of a sudden they're loving people first and trying to love God second. We need to love God first, because what in everything that we do, we're supposed to be doing it on behalf of the Lord. We're serving as priests within his kingdom. All right, so those are the things there underneath how it is we can minister to the Lord. And then finally, number three, pronounce blessings. Remember, we're talking about, last week we established the fact that we are priests within the court of the king. That's our mantle. That's our calling, if you will. And now we're talking about what does that entail? We're going to be carriers of God's presence. We are going to be ministering to the Lord, meaning we're going to praise Him, we're going to pray to Him, and we're going to do acts of service on His behalf. People will benefit by it, but what we're doing it because we're doing it as unto the Lord. You clear? Final thing, we're going to pronounce blessings. We are going to bless in His name. That's what it said there in that Deuteronomy 10 passage. We're going to bless in His name. Let me just start by saying this is not saying Gesundheit or God bless you after somebody sneezes, all right? Let's just be clear about that. That's not a bad thing. We're not saying that, you know, offering statements of goodwill to people is, but that's not when the Bible says, here's what I need you to do. I need you to bless in my name. He's not talking about saying, you know, God bless you, you know, those kinds of things. When we're talking about the role of a priest pronouncing blessings, it has to do with speaking words. Listen now, has to do with speaking words of destiny, transformation, and life change. Hello? It's about seeing ourselves calling people to the purposes and plans of God for their lives. In fact, this is interesting. I found out this week that the Hebrew word for this bless in His name, the Hebrew word is the word Barak. Not that guy. Not that guy, right? Not that. Although, you wonder. Anyways, one of the meanings of the word Barak is the word lightning. Lightning. And I thought, God, what's that have to do with blessing? And I began to think about it even before I read to you what I'm gonna read to you. I got to thinking about it because I knew that the idea behind this priestly blessing was, you know, change and transformation and whatnot. And I thought about lightning. I thought, oh my word. You know, when lightning hits something, there's a reaction. There's something's changing right there. It's happening right now. So I read this story. I read this story about a church that was thinking about closing down, right? Their numbers had dwindled down to nothing. And, you know, they were thinking about, you know, let's just shut this thing down. It's not working anymore. And about the same time that the people were contemplating what to do, a bolt of lightning hit the church and burned it to the ground. Right there. Just burn it right to the ground. So they're like, they got together, the few of them that were left there, they got together and they said, well, you know, what are we supposed to do now? We can't even close the thing down. It's burnt down, right? So they got talking and they got praying about it. Imagine that, you know. They got talking about it and praying about it. And a word came forth from within the group of people that they were supposed to build another building, but it was to be a multi-purpose facility for people in the community to use and be blessed by. They built the building, and now they've got such a thriving church, they don't have enough room for all the people. And I thought to myself, I was reading this story, not in light of this word, but I was reading this story, and I was thinking that lightning, both in the natural and very, very, in a very real sense, metaphorically and in the spiritual, that lightning came down and totally transformed their approach to life and to ministry. That is what, it's kind of a spark plug ministry, right? It's kind of a, you know, God's calling us as priests to be these pronouncers of blessing where we're going out and we're out there calling people to something greater than what they know right now. Bigger and better than what they know right now. Life instead of dormancy or complacency, pronouncers of blessings. We're going out there and we're being a catalyst to see God come and do His bidding in people's lives. Three things that God, in this function of being a priest that He's called us to, we are supposed to be carriers of the King's presence and a point of divine contact for people to interact with God. Number two, we are being called to minister to the desires of the King. Listen, some people say, they say to me sometimes, I don't know what God's calling me to do. Let me clear it up for you, right? Just minister to Him. Just serve Him. Just love Him. You know, He'll take care of the details about that. You just point your heart in the right direction and it'll work. And finally, number three, being a catalyst for transformational life in the settings we find ourselves going into. Now, I'm not like ignorant of this. Some of you find yourself going into some hard places. I got that. You know, guys work on construction sites and, you know, the school's not the easiest place to work at. I got all that. I understand all that. And maybe you don't know this, but sometimes ministry isn't the easiest place to work either. You know, everybody's thinking, oh, all you do is hear, you know, angels all day long. That's not the way it works, right? It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. You know, you just hear harps playing, you know. No harps. Once in a while, I hear a guitar over in Scott's office. That's about it, right? Most of the time, you're talking with people who are hurting and struggling, doing life. And you know, I guess what I'm saying to us this morning is we all have our places to go. We all have our people to meet, right? And I'm just trying to encourage us this morning that when we get up in the morning, rather than, you know, before we strap on our carpenter's belt, we need to put on the mantle of being a priest. And remind ourselves, okay, today, it's a new day, I'm putting on the robe, and my carpenter's belt, right? I got the robe, that'd be a neat picture, a priest's robe with the carpenter's belt. I'm putting them on, and today, Lord, listen, if every one of us in here did this, we got up tomorrow and said, Lord, okay, my identity, my true identity, I'm a priest serving in the courts of the King. All right, I got that straight. All right, what was that I was supposed to do? Oh, yes, I'm going to carry Your presence today wherever You take me, God, wherever it is that I'm going to go. I'm going to minister to You throughout the day. I'm going to be lifting up Your praise. I'm going to be offering up prayer to You. I'm going to be doing, when the opportunity arises, serving You, doing random acts of goodness towards other people. I'm going to be doing those things, and then I'm going to be a catalyst of blessing wherever I go. I'm telling you, if every one of us got up, put the robe on, strapped on the belt, and went to those places that God calls us to, it would be transformational for those places. Totally transformational for those places that God takes us. I want to pray for us this morning. I want you to stand, if you would, please. I want to pray for us about those things. And then I want to read to you the biblical priestly blessing. This is the blessing that God gave to them to pronounce over the lives of other people. But I first want to pray for you. Father, we're back here again this week, receiving some basic instructions for what it is, the mantle that You placed on our life, the calling that has come to us, both platform and pew, Lord, You've called us to serve as priests in Your kingdom. Last week, we accepted that role. We received that anointing for such a responsibility. Now, today, Lord, we're looking and we're seeing, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to do? And I'm asking, Lord, that you would, by a work of your Spirit in each of our hearts, that even the remainder of today and tomorrow, as we awake afresh and receive new grace and mercy from you, that you would just remind us that you have called us to put the robe on. You've called us to accept the mantle, to receive the calling, to take on the power and anointing that you've given to us to serve within the courts of your kingdom. And then, Lord, would you please, by a work of your Spirit, would you set out to remind us at each turn of the corner of our day, Lord, help us to see you. Help us to see those opportunities that you're setting forth for us. Help us to find our way, and as we navigate our day, whether we're driving a truck or we're teaching kids in a classroom or whatever we're doing, see those ways that we can bring life to those places. See the ways that we can carry out our priestly duties and find ourselves ministering to you and, I mean, carriers and of your presence. And when people ask certain questions, it may be the very moment that it causes for us for a divine appointment where they can meet you and find you for who you are. Lord, this morning we accept that we're not going to make our things be your things. We're taking that which you've described as our role and responsibility, Lord. We're going to receive that, and we're going to learn to walk in it and not ask you to somehow cooperate with us. We want to cooperate with what you've called us to. So we pray that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you. You've heard it before. In fact, some of you have probably heard it many times. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I was re-looking at this week, and I found out that what happened when the priests were proclaiming this blessing over people, what there's a three parts to it. There's the earthly blessing part, which has to do with us living a full life on earth. But there's also contained in this a spiritual blessing of insight and inspiration that we be able to see what God has called us to and wants us to do. And then finally, the third part is about things being well with our soul. That's my prayer for you in the week to come. My prayer is that God will give you every tool that you need, every earthly thing that you need to serve him well. But it's also my prayer that as you go along life's way, you will have aha moments, that wisdom will come to you, that insight and revelation will come to you, and you will say, oh, that's what God said, or that's what he's doing. I see it now. And that you will also, things this week will be well with your soul. That you won't be all in turmoil and strife, but that the peace of God will be your portion, and you can find yourself resting in him.